Thank you for downloading The Producer's Pick from Sounds True. This podcast is dedicated to bringing you compelling, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, one of our producers has chosen a selection from a program they've worked on that caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, Taking the Courageous Step, comes from the audio program What to Remember When Waking, The Disciplines of an Everyday Life, with poet David White. Mitchell Clute was with David White in a small studio on Whidbey Island for this recording. Here's what Mitchell had to say about this week's selection. It's always a great pleasure working with David White. His voice is so compelling and his words so beautiful that at first the listener may not realize that he's asking hard questions and sharing hard-won insights. This selection is a good example, a challenge to each of us to see how we sabotage ourselves, how we turn away, instead of turning towards our life challenges. Why, he asks, is it so difficult for human beings to take the courageous step? Really learning the answer to that question and dealing with the many losses in our lives is enough to change completely our relationship to ourselves and the direction our lives will take moving forward. But for this change to happen, we must first apprentice ourselves to what David calls the difficult and fierce revelations of existence. And now, our producer's pick, Taking the Courageous Step with David White.
Almost by definition, the courageous conversation is the conversation you do not want to have. And the first step is the step of acknowledging exactly where you are in the seasonality of your existence, what kind of threshold you're on, looking in the mirror and facing up to not only your possibilities in life, but your difficulties and the way you sabotage yourself and sabotage others, the way you stop the conversation from happening. And right at the core of that is a central seed of the dynamic, which you must actually grow into something else. And so turning your face back to your life, turning your face to this moment, to this threshold, to the first step, and trying to take that first step as assiduously and sincerely and courageously as you can. And this first step is quite interesting because it could be that the first step is something, an insight you have about yourself, which is achieved in a moment and which changes everything just by the fact that it's at the center of the pattern. It could also be a first step that takes you a whole year or even many years to actually negotiate, that it's so core to your ability to move on that if you try and take the second step or the third or the fourth, the pattern which imprisoned you previously will simply return again. And so there's a great deal to be said for taking a spacious look at your life at these points, these crucial points, particularly where trauma has returned you to a kind of marvelous internal and almost miraculous simplicity. And this simplicity, of course, can occur through having lost someone very close to you, from having lost a sense of yourself, from having lost your way and your vocation. But it's granted you an ability to see the elemental nature of existence. Of course, one of the great questions is, why is it so difficult for human beings to take the courageous step? Why is it more difficult to look at what is close in, what is necessary, what is vulnerable, than it is looking at something abstract where we don't actually have to commit ourselves, where we're not made to seem vulnerable or weak or humiliated in public? Why is it difficult for human beings to take the courageous step? My understanding is that it comes from the astonishing amount of loss which is in an everyday life, an everyday lived life, that all of us actually in our existence as human beings have to say goodbye to everyone we know, either you will say goodbye to them or they will say goodbye to you. You will go before them or they will go before you. And there's never been a person since the beginning of time who has been exempted from these heartbreaking farewells. And especially as you start to work through the fiercer cycles of existence, where, for instance, in your early 20s, you get the first inkling that everything that you've wanted and hoped for yourself may not come fully true, where, as a parent, your heart breaks when you realize you can never be the image of perfection in fatherhood or motherhood that you've wanted for yourself, where you have the first break in your work life in the sense of something being torn apart, where you realize you may not achieve all the goals that you set for yourself when you were young, when you lose someone in your family incredibly close to you. And I do think that one of the dynamics that occurs is that a person, when they've felt loss at such a foundational level, is they say to the rest of creation, to God, to no one in particular, if this is what life involves, then I'm not playing the game. If life is full of so much difficulty and vulnerability and loss, then I'm not going to go out and meet it. I'm actually going to create my own little bubble, my own rules, my own internal video game that I'll play according to the way I've laid it out. And I'm actually not going to apprentice myself to the difficult and fierce revelations of existence. So it's quite helpful to know that not feeling as if you belong, feeling as if you don't quite know how to play the game, is actually part of a full human incarnation. That actually almost everyone you see around you, even the most phenomenal players, you know, who seem to be full of competence, always have a part of them that is looking from the outside in, that doesn't feel as if they quite belong to what they're involved with, that doesn't know quite how to take the next step. And that instead of seeing this dynamic of difficulty as being something you have to overcome, it's quite interesting to look at it as a core human competence, actually. That if you look at the rest of creation, nothing else gets to feel as if it doesn't belong. If you look at the clouds or the sky or the osprey sailing across the Puget Sound in the Pacific Northwest of the United States, the whale off the coast of Greenland, a landscape, everything in the natural world is just as it is, actually. And none of those creatures get to imagine themselves as other creatures. And a rock is just a rock. A mountain is a mountain. A cloud is a cloud. And in fact, we go into the natural world because we want an intuition of rested simplicity where we feel it might be possible just to be yourself. But actually, it may be that just being yourself as a human being means feeling slightly out of it most of the time. And that a form of enlightenment, actually, is to understand that you'll never, ever feel quite at home in the world. And you're not meant to. Because actually, your sense of compassion for the rest of creation and for others depends on your understanding of exile and how far a creature, and especially a human creature, can feel from true parentage, from their true inheritance, from their true home. So part of starting close in, taking the step you know you have to take, is understanding that you will never ever be the image of perfection you want yourself to be. And thank God for it. because whatever image of perfection you've laid out has come only from your own mind or from your parents' mind or from your society's mind, and it lacks a conversational revelation which will be opened up through the difficulties of your life, through the vulnerabilities of your life, into a much larger territory. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. So part of the courageous step every human being has to take is of course knowing what logistical step you have to take next, what you have to say, how you have to be, even more importantly, the way you're going to shape your identity. But also a greater theological context of what it means to take the next step to be more fully human, to be more fully here, which is actually to understand that you're not meant to fully belong in the world. You're not meant to create Shangri-La. You're not meant to create heaven here. You're meant to actually hold both home and exile, distance and togetherness in a particular conversation that no other corner of creation can hold. And that's the human conversation.